In this interview, I talked to LA chef Anu Pio. She's got celebrities like Matrix actress Carrie-Anne Moss queuing up around the block to taste her raw food, gourmet treats. Anna's approach is simple, replacing the beige processed junk that keeps us fat with vibrant, natural food that tastes great and keep us slim. I hope you enjoy the interview. So Annie, tell me about how you first got interested in raw food.
I was raised on a lot of raw food. My father was a raw fooder, so I was actually raised on all the green juices and vegetables. We had our organic garden. And back then, I didn't actually like it because it was all about functional food. And my mom would force us to drink, you know, mud sludge vegetable juice just because it was good for us. But it didn't taste good. So in San Francisco in the mid-90s, I discovered Giuliano's Raw Food Restaurant, and the food was absolutely delicious. It was this gourmet style of raw 2.0, which is what I call it. And it was beautifully plated, really fresh flavors, and I had never experienced raw food that way. It was just like a really interesting style of food and eating. And when I went home that night, I couldn't sleep. I had boundless energy and mental clarity and focus. And I thought to myself, what was in that food? It was so great. And so as I started learning about it and hanging out at the restaurant, I discovered, you know, the whole principle around raw food. And then as I started getting into it more and more and sharing that food with people around me and then with my mom was the one that connected it. She got it and she was like, you know, do you understand that your dad used to eat that way? So she connected it back to the way that we were raised and how she would make food for us, even though it didn't taste as good back then.
So there's lots of different diets and healthy eating plans out there. Can you describe to us the Annie Pho's approach to raw food and how your recipes are different?
I guess the way that my recipes are different is that my goal in life, I guess, is that, and in my business, is to really make healthy alternatives accessible to the mainstream. So with each of my, you know, subsequent cookbooks, I'm finding that all of my recipes are becoming simpler and simpler and simpler. And now they're sort of to a point where they may use only 3 ingredients or even 4 ingredients. And so I'm all about stripping down recipes to the basic minimum number of ingredients they require, and then sort of then leaving it up to the reader or the person experimenting with the recipe to then add on additional flavors and spices to then make different variations and flavors. And so all my recipes are super simple. I try, of course, for some things, dehydration is fun, but for a lot of my recipes, you just place the ingredients either into a food processor or a blender, and then you just blend and process, combine different things together in different ways, and make different textures and flavors and create really fast and easy accessible recipes. Because for myself, I'm really busy working, and so a lot of these recipes are the way that I'll feed myself, but again, not compromising texture or flavor. So I believe that, yeah, the food needs to taste as good or better as the less healthy alternatives in order for people to choose it, because I never want people to feel that they're, you know, missing out on something, you know?
Okay, so what would you say is the most challenging thing or things that people will experience when they first switch from what they're eating at the moment to a raw diet?
I think it's just breaking habits, because we're all used to reaching for certain things. You know, like if someone's hungry and they're reaching for a bag of snacks or something, you know, that is maybe like corn puffs or potato chips. I think it's just breaking that habit and instead just replacing and making sure that in our house, at least, I work out of my house and I spend a lot of time in my house. So I just sort of make sure that in my house, I only have all healthy, fresh, raw food things. So I just have nuts and seeds and fruits and vegetables. You know, I go to the farmer's market as many times as my schedule allows, and I get the freshest things that are in season, and I just have really healthy snacks available all the time. So I think also once we learn to set up our kitchen to create more of these healthy alternative raw foods, it actually becomes easier to make raw foods than to cook food. Because if you think about it, really, when you use a blender or a food processor, all you have to do, there's no cross-contamination issues. You know, I'm not handling meat products or things like that. A lot of times, I'll just rinse it out. You know, I'm not even using soap or, you know, scrubbing that hard. I just rinse and it's gone. Whereas, you know, when something is baked or fried, you know, it's like a lot, you have to soak it. You still have to use a lot of elbow grease and scrub it off. So the cleanup is much easier. And so in the long run, just sort of throwing things together quickly, and then the cleanup is a lot shorter and easier. It's actually faster. But I think it's making that shift and setting up the kitchen so that you have all the right ingredients and the right pieces to make it easy to whip up those fast treats.
Talk me through the major benefits then of eating a raw diet.
So the major benefit from my point of view for eating a raw food diet is that it all starts from locals, well, ideally local seasonal, whenever the season permits, whole food ingredients. And so a lot of the illnesses that are created, I actually personally believe, are from toxins that enter our body. And so by making our own food from whole food ingredients, then there's no place along the way that a manufacturer can introduce a chemical preservative, an artificial flavoring, an artificial coloring, or some type of toxic poison chemical. And so for me, it's all about just starting with fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, and making our own soups and lasagnas and pastas and desserts and healthy foods with whole foods. The other part of raw foods is that because none of the food is heated, and I personally prefer not to dehydrate as much as possible because I feel that our bodies are made of, like, you know, 70-80% water. And so the foods that we eat should also be high in water content. You know, a lot of us are actually dehydrated without realizing. And so for me, eating a lot of raw foods means that you're eating water and oxygen. And it's already been proven that cancer can't exist in a highly oxygenated environment. And so there's lots of benefits. And also by not heating the food, the enzymes, so the living life force of the food is not damaged. And so, you know, some raw foodies will say, there's sort of like a debate, and I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know which part is true, but some will say, yeah, there's living enzymes in fruits and vegetables, obviously. That's what ripens a banana or an avocado, and eventually it'll make it spoil. You know, so if you were to take compost of leftover raw food and put it in the ground, it would actually create new life at the core, right? So you throw it in the earth. Whereas if you take, like, you know, a processed potato chip or something like that, throw it in the earth, or a candy bar, it's not going to create, plants aren't going to grow out of that. So on the other level, it means that those enzymes, some will say those enzymes make that food really easy for our body to digest. I think what it is that because a lot of that food is made up of fiber and water, I think what it is it's easier for our body to break down and digest because it's just lighter food. It's less sort of like a concentrated in a way, even though it is very nutrient rich. So every bite that we're eating, there's no fillers. There's no, like, processed white flour. There's no processed sugar. So there's no empty calories and no fillers. So every single bite that we're enjoying is just full on superfood, because the FDA here in this country has touted nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables are all called superfoods because they provide a really high amount of antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and all these other great things that our body needs.
What changes will people experience then in the first few weeks within their body? Is there anything, any, you know, unpleasant side effects or anything that they should be aware of?
I guess when I work with people, I always recommend that everybody's different, and depending on what we've been eating our whole lives and what our parents have been eating and what our genetic background is, it just depends. So for somebody who's been eating fast food every meal their whole life, it is actually going to be difficult to change over to 100% raw food diet overnight. What happens is that the body will start detoxing too quickly. So some of the side effects will be headaches and also, like, difficulty with digestion, even you know, cleansing, so it means that things are leaving your body really rapidly, because all the time, having to run to the bathroom all the time. So what I usually do when I'm working with clients is that, you know, if they're having breakfast and they're going to have bacon and eggs, I let them prepare that, because I never want people to feel deprived. That's not my philosophy. And so what I'll do with them is say, as they're making their bacon and eggs, I'll make a humongous protein fresh shake, you know, and then I'll have them drink that first. And it's like a more than a pint glass. It's like one of those huge, you know, glasses. I have them drink that first. So what's happening is that they're getting a ton of nutrients into their body. So their body is actually feeling satisfied, right, at the nutrient level. And then also they're drinking a lot of fluids, a lot of water, and they're drinking in a lot of fiber. So they're actually feeling satisfied and they're starting to get full. And so then when I say, okay, go ahead and eat your eggs and bacon, chances are they might eat 3/4 or even a half of what they would have eaten prior. So that's how I like to switch people over gradually. And then another thing I'll do is say, you know, with each cooked meal you're going to have, whether it be burger and fries, have a salad that's just as large in volume as the burger and fries. Have the salad, maybe put some nice nuts on there, really yummy dressing. Have that first, Again, same thing. The water from the fresh vegetables, the fiber, all of that is going to fill them up first. And then they'll eat maybe half of their burger and fries. And so I'm not saying to them, don't eat the burger and fries, they're bad. But instead, I'm just introducing slowly more of the fresh components, more of the raw food components. And then I'll have them note, I'll say to them, how do you feel? And then a lot of times, right away, they'll feel a lot lighter. They'll feel like they have more mental clarity, more focus, more energy. They're starting to feel better. Because as we eliminate some of those things that cause irritation in our body, because some people may have an allergy to wheat products and not really realize that until they stop eating it. And so if they have an allergy to dairy or wheat, things like that are starting to become more mainstream now, or even to animal products like meat and things like that. As they decrease the intake of that, they'll notice suddenly, wow, I feel lighter. And that may be because inflammation has decreased in their body. They may feel better. If you feel better, it's so much easier to be happier, right? And to feel good. But we may not have necessarily known that we were feeling bad prior until we actually feel better. And then we notice how great we do feel. And then with each day, when I work with them, I just say, each day try and do better than the day before. And when somebody notices how great they feel, why would they consciously want to make themselves feel less good, on another day? Although sometimes we fall off the bandwagon, and I say that's fine too, and that we need to take everything in moderation and first and foremost come to our food choices with attitude of gratitude. There are people in other parts of the world who would be very gracious to have a bag of potato chips and eat that up because they're starving to death, So we're so lucky to even have the option to say, I would rather eat that only if it's organic or eat that only if it's vegan. Other people in other countries don't have that option at all. So having gratitude for the food choices that we do have available, and then doing the best we can, because we all live with family members. Some people have children. We all work really hard. We're busy. So just sort of doing the best that we can each day and each moment.
How long will it actually take then when people start switching and they start doing this like transition? How long will it take for them to notice any weight loss or any health improvement?
In general, the rule of thumb is that for each year that we've eaten sort of the less healthier diet, it takes 1 full month of detoxing to get that out of our system. So, if we're like 40 and then tomorrow we become 100% raw and doing detoxes, it'll take about 40 months before we fully get rid of all those toxins. So I think it's a gradual process. The way that I like to look at health in general is that it's a continuum. Like maybe when a lot of vegan people were a lot younger, they were like, in America we have this subculture of vegan punks where they're like tattooed, smoking, and riding their bikes around, and they eat Skittles, and they're not necessarily into the vegan for the health, they're into it more for animal activism. But 10 years down the road, as they get older, they may develop some health issues and then realize I can't be smoking anymore or eating Skittles even though I'm vegan, and then they might approach it more from a health perspective. So I think for each person, it's just different. For me, when I first went 100% raw, I've always been an athlete my whole life. I've always been really active and worked out and exercised. That first month of working with Giuliano, because there's about a year or two when I ran all of his catering and events and all of that, and I was around this amazing, delicious gourmet raw food 24/7, so I was stuffing my face cooked to full capacity, because he would always say, "Don't worry, don't count calories, just eat whatever." And I was just stuffing my face. I'd always be overfull. And I lost 15 pounds in the first month. So that was for me, like I didn't even know I had 15 pounds to lose, So that was within the first month of like stuffing my face. So I think for each person it's going to be different.
What's your number one secret then to improving health and fitness? Something that people can take away and do straight away?
I say it's either to include a whole food smoothie or a salad with every meal, just right then. Or even better yet, include a raw food dessert every meal. Because
Brilliant.
I actually have this theory on obesity, and my personal belief is that obesity is caused by empty calories and fillers. So our body, when we eat a full meal that doesn't have as many nutrients in it, our body may say 20 minutes later, "Oh, you still feel bloated because I know there's something in your stomach, but I need you to eat more food because the food you ate didn't give me enough nutrients to run at a base level." and to function. And so that's when we then that grab for a bag of chips or grab for more snacks, even though we really don't need to be eating more. And so when we eat more whole foods that are dense in nutrition, then we actually over time will decrease the amount of food that we eat because our body gets satisfied faster.
What are the common mistakes you see people make when they first start eating raw food?
So one thing that some raw fooders may say is a mistake is that initially people may really gravitate towards the more processed raw foods, which may be dehydrated kale chips. And so dehydrated kale chips are made out of kale that are marinated with maybe some cashews or red bell peppers, some nutritional yeast and lemon juice, and then dehydrated, so all the moisture is sucked out. If somebody who's eating, you know, a burger and fries and Doritos is now suddenly going to be eating kale chips, I say kale chips are way better than what they're eating before. And then another thing that some people may say is that when people first go into raw, they eat way too many sweets. Well, if we think about what raw sweets are made of, they're made out of fruits and nuts. You know, so like I'll make a chocolate cake out of walnuts, cacao powder, raspberries, I'll make frosting out of avocado, chocolate, a little bit of agave, and then it'll all be bound together with dates. And so if you think, well, if they were eating a slice of chocolate cake, that chocolate raspberry ganache cake even, that's made out of cream and butter and sugar and flour and all these other things, then so be it. They're eating a raw slice of healthy cake. Like I actually think that's still better than where they came from. So I think it all depends again on each individual and what they used to be eating or what they eat today, and then doing better each day. So in the beginning, even myself, I ate a lot of sweets. I ate a lot of dehydrated things. I find that with each year or even with each 6 months, I mean, it's been years for me now, well over a decade, maybe 12 years, 15 years, what I'm eating has changed. Extremely, you know, and even today, I was 100% raw fooder for 8 years, but even today, I'm not 100% anymore. And so I just find that by, you know, sort of being more lenient and not being so extreme, it actually places less stress on ourselves. And today, I'm just about well-being and living a life where I decrease stress as much as possible.
Is there any raw myths that you'd like to debunk?
Oh my goodness, a girlfriend and of mine, we're just talking about this today, so I don't know if there's necessarily a raw myth, because I'm going to take it back again now to everything works differently for each individual person. So what I always encourage everyone to do is, you know, read as many books as possible, go and listen to as many speakers as possible, but remember that everyone is giving their advice from what worked from them, from their point of view. So what worked for me may not work for everyone else. It may not work for you. What worked for a friend of mine is not going to work for me. You know, so it's really our responsibility to try different things in moderation and find what works for us. Over the 8 years, I had done extensive detoxing and fasting and water fasting and cleansing. And today, I feel like I'm on a mission in a way to show people that, because I do find that in the raw food community, unfortunately, there are some people who are anorexic, because it's just another way to control our food intake, right? So there are people in our raw food community who will, you know, sort of brag a lot about, oh, I'm fasting, I haven't eaten food, I've been on water for 2 weeks, and, you know, and that treatment definitely has its value. If somebody has cancer tumors that they need to starve out, of course, then be fasting, you know, doing juice fast, doing water fast, that's great. But I find that a lot of people, we're already healthy. You know, we're sort of doing raw food as a preventative measure for future illness. And for myself, for those 8 years, I did extreme detoxing and cleansing like every season. And what happened was that my body started cannibalizing my muscle mass. As our muscle mass decreases, it means that our metabolism slows down. And then also with my aging, your metabolism is slowing down already anyway. And so because I'm an athlete, I definitely want to have muscle mass. Because I'm a chef, I enjoy eating food, so I want to have food. Some people, and this works for some people who do the fasting, they want to slow down their metabolism as much as possible so that they don't need to eat as much food. The philosophy around that is that the less food our body has to process, the less we wear down our system, the more energy we save. Right, so I understand that point of view, but for me, again, everyone's different. So for me, I love eating. I love food. I love working out, and so I actually want to speed up my metabolism, and I want to continue to build muscle mass. So for the last several years, I've been heavy lifting. doing low reps of very high weights, and then doing squats and lunges and push-ups, and trying to working on rebuilding the muscle mass that I lost. So again, that's my point of view. So
when you first started eating, more raw food, what was the most important thing that you did to make it become a habit?
Setting up the kitchen so that it makes it super easy to make healthy treats. Also, when I would, come back from the grocery store or the farmer's market, I would wash all my greens at once and then make a huge container of ready mix, salad mix already. And then if I was to whip up anything, I'd do two or three batches at a time. So if I was to make a dressing, I'd make two or three batches. Or if I'd make a pate, that way I'd always have leftovers in the fridge. And so if I'm hungry and I'm opening the fridge and I have little time, it's very easy. I already have a jar of healthy dressing. I already have ready-made green mix to make a salad. Or I already have a pate to throw into a wrap. So having things like that available. Also, I think community and support is really important. So, either finding a local raw food meetup group or a potluck, there's so many of them surprisingly around the world now, everywhere. Either that, or even just have a potluck at your own house where, maybe at first, maybe help people by sending them recipes and then invite them over. Or maybe initially in the beginning, I used to make all the food, but people would come and they'd eat it and they'd love it. And so that's a really great way to turn people onto it and to share food with people. So even if it's just one other person in your community who you happen to meet, meet them in a park and swap, food. So they make something, you make something, you meet in the park and you share a meal together. It just really helps to be able to share food with other people that sort of share the similar philosophy. I think having that support really helps.
So have you got any secret tips or techniques for forming new healthy eating habits?
I guess one of the most challenging things in the beginning was traveling. So now I've really got it down pat. So when I travel somewhere, before I arrive, I will research online where are the co-ops, where are the farmers markets, where, the Whole Foods are quite popular here. And so a lot of times there'll be a Whole Foods near the hotel. So I'll map that out even before I get on the plane. So and then when I get to the hotel, I definitely go to the organic store. And I'll buy things like lemon, avocado, maybe tomato, fruits, apples, oranges, things that we'll keep in my hotel room. Sometimes there's no fridge. And then what I'll take with me sometimes are things like nori, sheets of nori. I might take some dehydrated flax crackers, take things, like nuts and seeds and stuff like that. And then that way I find that that makes it a lot easier to be able to enjoy healthier things while traveling. Another thing that helps too is a lot of times Japanese restaurants already have a lot of vegetables. They have salads and then they have nori. So you can go there and order, nori rolls, which is vegetables with no rice. A lot of restaurants already have no rice rolls anyway, where they'll actually wrap the outside with really thinly sliced cucumber and then the inside can be all vegetables. So things like that, just sort of being creative will help.
So what advice have you got for people who fall off the wagon and they break their healthy eating habit? How can they get back on track again?
Just the next meal, just do, get back on track again and not beat ourselves up, So again, that's why I found the 100% thing to cause a lot of stress, actually, because no one's perfect, and to be perfect at anything is stressful anyway. And so if we fall off because we happen to travel and because, where we're going is dead of winter and it's harder to find healthier options and, just do the best that we can in each environment. And then when we get the opportunity to come back to it again, then come back to it again, and just be kind to ourselves and love ourselves. I think that's the number one thing, because to beat ourselves up over it or to feel guilty about it or to feel stressed out about it is actually creating a lot more damage than if we're just grateful for the food that we have in front of us, are happy, and love ourselves.
Thank you for sparing us the time today, because I know that you're really busy.